Nadine Doris, Secretary of State for Culture, Media and Sport, went straight onto national TV and in a remarkable statement told Sky political editor Beth Rigby this: "The Conservative Party donors have said themselves that they aren't going to support the party if the PM is removed. I think a number of MPs in the marginal seats need to hear that and need to understand what they are doing. £80 million those donors have donated to the Conservative Party over recent times." We can only guess how many Tory MPs were terrified into supporting Johnson by this stark warning, amounting to an attempt at financial blackmail, that Tory donors would stop issuing checks if they voted the wrong way last night. But we can say for certain this was a dark moment in modern British democratic politics. A Tory cabinet minister setting out in stark terms that billionaires hold a stranglehold over the governing political party. We've never seen this openly stated by a senior active Tory politician before. This means it was a revelatory moment that, to redefine the way in which Johnson premiership should be framed. So far, Johnson's many media allies have presented the Prime Minister as a cheeky chappy with common touch fighting a popular campaign against a distant liberal elite. Flawed for certain, a liar and a cheat, but always fighting for ordinary people. That claim has always been misleading. From the start of his premiership, ex-journalist Johnson has been the creature of the big media owners acting in alliance with deracinated financial capital. For all of his incompetence, falsehoods, and lack of vision, Boris Johnson still has their support today. Over the coming weeks, the British media will paint Britain's ongoing political crisis as the story of an embattled Prime Minister fighting a desperate struggle for survival. There is some truth in that dramatic, easily comprehensible narrative, but much greater forces are at work. The billionaire class put their man, Boris Johnson, in Downing Street 3 years ago. He suits them well because he does what they want. Johnson is at the apex of a system of government that hands out contracts, supplies favors, slashes regulation, attacks the rule of law, reduces the right of working people, and favors the marketplace above the state. The brilliance of Boris Johnson is that he does all of this while pretending to be on the side of ordinary working people. That's why the super rich love Boris, the billionaire's useful idiot. For all his faults, let's face it, Johnson was a shambles when he appeared on late-night British TV to declare victory after Tory leadership vote. Disheveled, gibbering, incoherent. This wounded Prime Minister blamed the media, shamelessly linked his fortunes to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, and nonsensically claimed he had more supporters than when elected Tory leader 3 years ago. It made for painful viewing. Johnson has not simply lost the support of more than one-third of his parliamentary party. He's lost contact with reality, but not with the billionaires. The real story of the next few desperate months is not whether Boris Johnson, a truly wretched and discredited political figure, can survive. It's about whether the system of government, in the interest of the super rich he has come to represent, can be overturned.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint.
A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A very warm welcome to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my two guests, as always, in the studio with me, trying to help me criticize the movie Hotel Mumbai, produced in 2018 and directed by Anthony Maras, starring Dev Patel, Armie Hammer, and so many actors and actresses of Hollywood and India. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Hussein, and welcome to the program.
Wa alaikum assalam, glad to be here.
Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum, and welcome to the studio.
Wa alaikum assalam, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Well, before we start our program based on the critique of this movie, Hotel Mumbai, let's take a listen to a short part of this movie, Hotel Mumbai, and then we'll be back criticizing it. Stay with us.
We have another VIP guest dining at the Shamiana tonight. Vasily Dotesky.
Sir.
He can be difficult.
Mr. Dotesky, so nice to see you again.
Whatever he says, just smile, be polite, be courteous. Remember always, here at the Taj, guest is God.
Back to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting, and Brother Hussein and Sayyid Abdullah are my distinguished guest speakers in the studio with me, trying to criticize the movie Hotel Mumbai, produced in 2018, directed by Anthony Maras. Well, according to this part, Brother Hussein, there is the chef in that part training the workers of the hotel to treat the customers well, all right? But he says this is very noticing or noticeable.
Yeah.
Let's say. He says, guest is God. You know, it's not a problem to behave and treat other people, everyone, well and appropriately. This is basically etiquette and morality, right? But based on money and wealth, usually when the customers come, especially this is what he somehow connotes, all right? So he attaches this connotation to his statement that we usually separate the customers this way. If, for example, they are talking about that Russian, you know, customer
Yeah.
Who's so well-to-do and the like, you know? So they have to go to extreme to bend over backwards, you know.
Yeah, don't ask him if he wants to.
Yeah, exactly, like that, right? Exactly. That's the point, you know. But when it comes to money and wealth, or economically speaking, this is another story. You know, we also have it in Islam as Muslims. And even Easterners, in comparison with the Westerners, they respect the guest very much. You know, we have lots of proverbs in the Middle East, in Arabic, in Persian, in Urdu, you know, that we consider the guests to be so much honorable. All right? We respect and honor our guests. All right? But that doesn't happen to be so in the West. Why? Why do the Eastern people respect the guests so much? Is it a part of their culture?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, first of all, the guest is God. Of course, that's just an expression. But mm-hmm. yeah, it does imply that, you know, hospitality in Eastern culture is a very important practice, or like it's a mm-hmm. very important tradition to host and become, you know, a person who the guest is comfortable with. I think, you know, the comparison is with how, you know, the culture is you know, formed, I guess, in the East.
Mm-hmm.
Where in the West, it's what I feel from my experience, it's a little bit more casual.
Yes.
Right? And it's a little bit more, you know, I guess, public
mm-hmm.
rather than, you know, where you have in the East, where it's, you know, you have to abide by this specific etiquette, and you have, of course, you have religion and, you know, backing it up and, you know, promoting
mm-hmm.
these specific, you know, good traits
yes.
in these communities.
Yes. Sayyid Abdullah, I know a lot of people that they are saying that they've never been alone in their homes without having guests around.
Yes.
They attach so much importance to having guests in their homes. And we also know from the, I guess, prophetic, like, kind of tradition that we know this has been reported so many times that Prophet Abraham, for example, has mm-hmm. never eaten alone.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
So why is there so much emphasis on hospitality in the East?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When it comes to hospitality and, you know, having guests, sometimes it's as it, you know, the concept of hospitality and being hospitable to others, it's one of the natures of man himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it is a divine embedded code within his system to accommodate his fellow human beings. And so it depends on the environment that you live in. Either this code gets worked on, gets cultivated,
yes.
and becomes like the natural norm of the people, the society, or the place that you live in kind of kills it and covers it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when you compare East to the West,
yes.
you see that this code it's differs very dramatically,
mm-hmm.
where people in the East are very hospitable,
yes.
because this code is constantly active. They're mm-hmm. using it. While such code, it does not exist in the West, because they've been kind of told
mm-hmm.
that strangers, don't talk to them.
Yes.
That's what they teach their kids. Do not talk to strangers. Don't do this with strangers. You see a stranger, you back off. Where in our culture, actually the opposite. You see a stranger, you approach them, you ask them, they need help and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to religions themselves, they kind of activate that code more than anything else.
Yes.
So for example, in Islam, they heavily activate the code of generosity. Say for example, you give the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He never ate alone. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the imams and everybody, like in Islam, we see that even non-Muslims, before, like we have the stories of Hatim al-Ta'i, a
yes.
character just
yes.
before Islam,
mm-hmm.
That he would slaughter his own horse to feed his own guests.
Mm-hmm.
And in Islam, in our culture, is that you have to keep the guest for 3 days. So 3 days, you offer him everything that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So that we say the guest lasts for 3 days. So because Islam cultivates that. In other countries, even, for example, whether you're a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Confucius or even like mm-hmm. if you go that yes. kind of yeah. side of the East,
yeah.
they still also have that concept of being generous to others, being generous to even animals, being generous to the planet.
Yes.
So that code is always active.
Yes. Right? To be honest with you, when I was learning a long time ago, when I was learning English, and especially the expressions mm. of whether American or British English, and they were talking about like these, proverbs or figure of speech or whatever,
yeah.
like going metaphors. Dutch, for example, all right,
mm.
going half and half, like these expressions were somehow strange and weird to me that
yeah.
time
yeah.
when I was learning. Yeah. Like as an Easterner, mm. It was kind of strange for me, like if you, for example, take a taxi with your friend, you have
halves.
To like divide.
You go
them.
Halves.
We call yeah, halves. Go halves. Yeah, yeah. yeah. That's
it's
well,
strange.
That sounds
you know what?
Strange to
exactly.
us.
Exactly. See, even to the Westerners, though, like
yeah.
sometimes me and my friends, when we go to the coffee shop or restaurant, and we fight over who's going to pay.
Yeah, exactly.
And the cashier, they will just like surprised. They look at us like, what's wrong with these people?
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Where to them, it's okay if you eat meal with your friends, each pay for his own meal.
Mm-hmm.
Where for me, it would be like a shameful act.
Exactly.
To let my friends pay for me. So
exactly.
I want to pay for them. They want to pay for me. And so we end up fighting over the cash register. And I think even the...
By the way, you're talking from experience.
Yeah, I'm talking from experience because this happens to us all the time. And sometimes what we do is like now we're becoming a lot smarter. So we order, one of them says, I'm going to the bathroom, but he's actually going to the cashier, he pays, right? And then once they get up, they end up, you know, they're saying we... So we kind of come up with ways just so we can...
This is a very nice culture to build, by the way.
It is. And even the Westerners, when they see that, they actually are amazed, like,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's nice if our friends would do that for us.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you might not have money.
It's not about money, by the way. Even if the food is expensive in some countries, they still do it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, especially like where I come from, like a simple meal will cost you like, you know, $30, $40, a simple meal.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going, you know, any extra, just a normal meal.
Yeah.
Like a Happy Meal at McDonald's will cost you $10. So, you know. So, yeah, but with money, it's not a matter. It's not a factor when it comes to generosity.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break and listen to a part of this movie, Hotel Mumbai, produced in 2018. And we will be back. Don't go away.
Mumbai under siege. Chaos has erupted in India's financial capital with multiple bombings and reports of armed gunmen rampaging through the city. Many of Mumbai's most popular tourist sites are under assault. The CST station, restaurants, and luxury hotels are all under attack. Local police are simply not trained or equipped to deal with multiple military-grade attacks of this magnitude. What you're seeing now is chaos outside the celebrated Taj Hotel. Terrorists have laid siege to the landmark property with as many as 1,000 guests and over 500 staff trapped inside. Mumbai has no special forces units of its own, meaning tactical units must be sent in from New Delhi, over 800 miles away. They are hours away at the very least, and it is bedlam here on the ground at the Taj.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio. We are still criticizing the movie Hotel Mumbai, produced in 2018, directed by Anthony Maras. According to that part, Brother Hussein, why is there no sign of the police? In most of these movie scenes, we see this quite often, all right? That there's no sign of no whatsoever image of the police forces, a squad or SWAT team, whatever, in most of the movies of the kind, all right? Especially when it comes to, like, when push comes to the shove, when you expect some police officers to be in the scene to prevent, for example, or to do some useful act, you know, let's say, or to save some lives, you don't see them around. This happens to be like in lots of these movies, all right? Even like the news person.
The reporter, yeah.
The reporter giving the breaking news says, the local police are not trained for this or quick to deal with such attacks. Or just it's a thing which is like, what do you call it, common in India. Like it's only true with the Indian police that are like notorious, according to some criminals, do whatever they want to without any stoppage.
Yeah, the thing is, I think at the time, India especially, I don't think they were, you know, equipped with the right equipment to deal with this type of attack, like the reporter said. The terrorists went in with, you know, these army-rated, you know, gear. And the police at the time, the local police, they had simple pistols. Actually, there was sign of the police. They risked their lives. There were like a couple of men.
Yes.
And the officers, you know, went inside and tried to
but they were doing a poor job, and it took like some hours for the squad to come.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's, I mean, you know, that's how it is,
sure,
I guess.
Yeah.
It depends on each country, but I think they did their best in that terms. But I think throughout other movies, usually police are there. There is a police presence, but there's usually a hostage situation which they take some time to deal with.
Thank you very much, Brother Hussein and Said Abdullah, for your nice contribution to the program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. We were trying to criticize the movie Hotel Mumbai, produced in 2018. But we haven't finished it yet. Inshallah, or hopefully, we are going to do that in the upcoming episode. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Apparently, there's been a big shooting at the CST station.
Nada, you're very safe here.
Security, can we get
security now? Lift them in! Food for thought.
Hello everyone, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Raza, peace be upon him, narrates that his illustrious ancestor, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, when asked by a person on the rights of the father upon the son, said, he should not call his father by name, he should not walk ahead of him, he should not sit until his father has seated himself. And he should not do such acts as a result of which people abuse his father.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With the light.
China launches three astronauts to its Tiangong space station as its construction enters a critical phase. The three blasted off from a launch center in northwestern China. They are the second group of astronauts to head to the space station since its construction began in April 2021. They will stay there for 6 months. The space station is planned as a three-section structure. The core module was launched in April, and two more components will be sent into space in July and September. The new mission will oversee the integration of the three parts. The crew's commander has described the task as a pivotal battle in the construction of Tiangong, which is planned to be completed by the end of 2022.
Colombia's long hunt for a fabled Spanish ship, San Jose Galleon, that sank centuries ago, comes to an end. But the mission leads to two more nearby shipwrecks filled with treasures.
We have found two additional ships, one ship that is from the colonial period and another that, from the point of view of preliminary analysis, corresponds to the Republican period of our history. We also have related vessels, around a dozen similar boats, that will be located by our Navy.
The colonial-era vessels were found near Colombia's Caribbean port of Cartagena. A remotely operated vehicle reached 900 meters beneath to capture the shipwrecks and treasures inside them. San Jose Galleon sank in a deadly battle against English warships in 1708, taking with it billions in treasure. The Colombian president says the findings will be preserved and protected until extraction is done completely. The riches will then be displayed in museums.
Colombian scientists managed to reproduce an endangered species of frog, bringing it back from the brink of extinction. The scientists were able to reproduce 29 specimens of Lehman's poison frog after years of investigations and experiments using a lab built specifically for this species. They have released the frogs into the Colombian Pacific region with the hope of starting its repopulation.
We observe how the frogs adapt to this ecosystem, which is theirs, but it is a constant monitoring. And the idea is that of these first 29 frogs at the moment, there are really many more little frogs, and now we can tell the world that they are not in danger of extinction.
The scientists, however, warned that this particular species of frog is very difficult to reproduce or maintain under human care. They are also worried about the illegal trade of the frogs, which has already played a key role in pushing the rare species towards extinction. Colombia is home to over 700 frog species, more than any other country in the world except Brazil.
Chinese scientists are establishing a meteorological monitoring station at an altitude of 8,800 meters on Mount Komolangma, the world's highest peak on the China-Nepal border. The 13 members of the research team started the trek towards an 8,300-meter base camp on Mount Komolangma from a 7,028-meter camp on Tuesday morning. They reached the camp in the afternoon and went on the last section of the arduous journey up on Wednesday morning. If the station is established successfully, it will replace the one at an altitude of 8,430 meters set up by the British and U.S. scientists on the mountains in 2019. It will be the world's highest of its kind, according to the Chinese Academy of Sciences.
A bridge too scary for many, but just the right place for those with a head for heights. Vietnam has opened the world's longest glass bottom bridge to the public.
The now recorded longest glass bottom cliffside pathway, and it's spectacular, the engineering required to build that into the side of a cliff but maintain all the features of nature, the greenery, the rock, has been an amazing project, very successful, and I think it will attract a lot of tourists.
The White Dragon Suspension Bridge fittingly opened with a dragon dance. The structure is longer than the previous record holder in China and has two sections. One stretches over 630 meters between two mountains, while the other runs around a cliffside. Visitors can look straight down at the valley 150 meters below. The structure is safe and made from three layers of 40 millimeter tempered glass. The contemporary ceramics exhibition kicks off at the Villa d'Atres Art Foundation near the French city of Avignon. The exhibit showcases nearly 130 artworks of all sizes. Some are so big they are put on display outdoors. The foundation has created these modern forms from roughly 100 artists from all over the world. The exhibit displays an exceptional diversity of eclectic works presenting sophisticated skills and artistry. Participating artists say working with clay and playing with glazes always produces a unique item that often generates a profoundly universal reaction. The goal of the event is to show how ceramic art has returned to the forefront of the contemporary art scene.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields, like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A man in the city of Soran in Iraq's autonomous Kurdistan region has become a local celebrity for a rather peculiar feature on his face. Hussein Abdullah Ahmed is famous for a record-breaking length of his mustache. Ahmed has been going by the name Mr. Mustache for decades now. His mustache has reached a length of 2.4 meters, making him a well-known man in the city he hails from. His son says, however, that his father's unusual feature is nothing new for him.
I've always known my father likes this since I was born. Although there were times when I had seen his mustache short, my dad is famous for his mustache, and we're proud of him.
Ahmed admits his mustache troubles him while working on the farm or trying to sleep, but to avoid the trouble, he either ties it from behind or stuffs it under his clothes. The 73-year-old man is not planning to get rid of his facial hair, which he hasn't trimmed since 1994. He seems to be enjoying the ride of fame as people stop him on the streets to take selfies with him.
The annual Vivid Life Festival has returned to Sydney after being cancelled 2 years in a row due to the coronavirus pandemic. The event kicked off with fireworks and lighting the sails of the Sydney Opera House. Iconic structures like the Sydney Harbour Bridge and the Museum of Contemporary Art Australia are part of a series of new canvases this time around. As an added treat, the 2022 festival also has the longest continuous light walk in the history of the event. Plus, this year's highlights include a choreographed light show by 600 drones. Both residents and tourists have been anticipating the return of the show.
I saw it about 8 years ago, I think, and it's just got better and better, as far as I can tell. I mean, the Opera House is the most amazing canvas possible to project, this just amazing digital artwork. The vibrancy of it, the colour of it, the animation of it, the explosiveness of it, the colour just bursts out in just amazing ways. That the snakes, the chameleons, the lizards crawling across it.
The Harbour City will glow with 50 light installations, 3D projection artworks, as well as over 100 musical events. Vivid Sydney is an annual festival that lasts for 23 nights, infusing art, innovation and technology while collaborating with boundary-pushing artists. In 2019, the festival attracted millions of attendees. The event is owned and managed by the Tourism and Major Events Agency of the Government of New South Wales. Chilean scientists believe they have found the world's oldest living tree in a lush green forest in the south of the country. The scientists say their study shows an ancient cypress known as the Great Grandfather might have been beaten the record for the world's oldest tree by six centuries. The bristlecone pine tree in eastern California is the current record holder with over 4,800 years of age. The scientist who led the study says the sample they extracted and other dating methods suggest that the Chilean cypress with a 4 meter thick trunk is over 5,000 years old.
We could count all the rings, but we know it's not the tree's age. It's an estimation of what we call a minimum age. So for this kind of tree, the scientific challenge is to estimate with science the part that we do not see and that is missing. And that is what we did with the millennial Alersi. This method tells us that 80% of all possible growth trajectories give us an age of this living tree greater than 5,000 years. There's only a 20% chance that the tree is younger.
Borisovich is, however, concerned about visitors harming the tree, which is located in the Costero National Park. He says visitors are still able to circle the tree's base, step on its roots, and even take pieces of its bark. The tree is a conifer native to Chile and Argentina and can grow to heights of up to 45 meters.
Humans have disrupted the turtle survival for years due to their greed for meat, eggs, skin and shells. But the decreasing population of the species is creating conscious of conservation. Cambodians have released hundreds of turtles of an endangered variety into the wild on World Turtle Day. About 600 Cantor's giant soft-shell turtles were let into a river in northeastern Cambodia. After people collected the species from a holding pool, Cambodian monks blessed the tiny creatures, then set them free. The Wildlife Conservation Society, who was the organizer of this event, it said that only a few records of Cantor turtles have remained in Laos, while they have mostly been wiped out in Vietnam and Thailand. The body has so far released over 1,500 hatchlings into the wild in 2022.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Very welcome to today's episode of the program. Today is a special on the knowledge of Imam Reza alayhi salam.
I would like to say to my mom, I really love my mom. I really want to do everything for Islam, and I really want that my Imam help us all Momins and Momnas to become Muttaqi and prepare ourselves for the coming of 12th Imam.
I will ask Imam Raza alayhi salam, please grant me permission to visit your holy shrine once again.
Assalamu alaikum, ya Imam Musa Raza alayhi salam.
Assalamu alaikum, ya Imam Raza alayhi salam.
Assalamu alaikum, ya Qaribat wa Qurba. Assalamu alaikum, ibn Musa Raza. Assalamu alaikum, Shamsh wa Shamus. Assalamu alaikum, all spreader of truth. Assalamu alaikum, Ali ibn Musa Raza.
Today, Friday, is the 10th of Zilqa'dah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 20th of Khordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 10th of June, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's start today's program, that is today's special, with the blessed recitation of the Holy Quran, Surah 5, Ayah 55.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنما وليكم الله ورسوله والذين آمنوا الذين يقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة وهم راكعون.
Your ally is none but Allah, and therefore His Messenger and those who have believed, those who establish prayer and give zakah, and they bow in worship.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Guardianship over Muslims belongs firstly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, secondly to Prophet Muhammad, and then to the Immaculate Imams, and after that to the jurisconsult. The best kind of introduction is that in which the qualities and characteristics of a particular person be mentioned, and the audience adopt them to its aspects, and they themselves find its extension. The verse, without mentioning the name of Imam Ali alayhi salam, has enumerated his qualities and action.
Allahumma salli ala Ali ibn Musa al-Riza al-Murtadha. Al-Imam al-Taqi al-Nabi. وحجتك على من فوق الأرض ومن تحت الثرى يا الصديق الشهيد صلاة كثيرة تامة زاكية متواصلة متواترة مترادفة كأفضل ما صليت على أحد من أوليائك.
The knowledge of Imam Reza alayhi salam. Imam Ali ibn Musa Reza alayhi salam had inherited the divine knowledge from his great-grandfather, the Holy Prophet of Islam. Imam Reza alayhi salam was practically like an ever-flowing fountain that quenched the knowledge-seeker's thirst for learning. His father, Imam Musa ibn Jafar alayhi salam, often advised the members of the family to consult with Ali, that is Imam Ali ibn Musa Reza alayhi salam, about the problems they had in understanding the true concepts of the Islamic doctrines or about other religious issues. The Holy Seven Imam, that is Imam Musa ibn Jafar, enjoined the Ahlul Bayt to learn by heart whatever Ali or Ali ibn Musa Reza has recommended. Imam Reza alayhi salam was known as the wisest of all his contemporaries. His Holiness always succeeded in answering the questions raised by Ma'mun, the ruling caliph, with reference to the Quranic ayahs. Thank you.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bina-sta'in. In this episode, we are concerned with a certain doctrinal discussions and dialects that the 8th Infallible Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam had with the religious leaders of certain religions. And in this way, I mean, in terms of present-day academic discussions, it must be indicated that nowadays we find that some authors or some, for example, specialists, when they develop essays and have them published, I mean, in journals, in newspapers, in books, or nowadays quite widespread, I mean, in online social media, a great majority of them don't want to direct the audience to the right path, to the right way, or help them accept the truth. Rather, a great majority of them may want to mislead the readers or the audience. While in the practices of the 8th Infallible Imam, Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam, he never intended to misdirect or misguide any of his disputants. So rather, Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam was quite sympathetic to other people, to the followers of other religions, even though they were not, certainly they were not illiterate people, they were religious leaders of other religions. Yet Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam intended to direct them to the right path. And this is a very good and important humane attitude we may learn from the conduct of the 8th Infallible Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam. Thank you.
Reflecting on different Islamic topics, short commentary of the Holy Quran, hadiths of the Infallibles, lessons from the life of the Infallibles, all in today's special from IRIB English Radio.
The Imam uses supplication as a weapon. Another quality of Imam Reza's spiritual life is that he practiced supplication as a weapon through praying to Allah and referring to Him in all his efforts. For he found in it a supplication, a spiritual enjoyment, which none of the enjoyments of life equaled it. The Imam urged his companions to supplicate Allah and said to them, adhere to the weapons of the prophets. What is the weapon of the prophets? He was asked, supplication. He replied. The Imam advised his companions to conceal supplication and that the man should supplicate his Lord secretly, that none may know of him. He, peace be upon him, has said, a servant's secret supplications equals 70 open supplications. Rules of etiquette for visiting Imam al-Reza's holy shrine. 1. Pay attention to the presence of the Imam. The time condition for a pilgrimage to be accepted is to meet with His Majesty, that is the Imam alayhi salam. In other words, visiting the shrine is not simply limited to entering or exiting in one place. You have to bear in mind the spiritual presence that surrounds you. There is a lofty soul present. Pay attention to this presence. Perform prayers and recite zikr in the shrine. Inside the holy shrine, perform prayers, qaza or miss prayers, obligatory salats, recommended prayers, and pray for parents. Recite zikr, la ilaha illallah, there is no God besides Allah, and the tasbihat, provided that the heart is firmly connected.
Imam al-Ridha, peace and blessings be upon him, left the holy city of Medina and he made his way towards the land of Khurasan, the area of Merv. During the way, he went through several cities. He met a number of his followers, people that had admired his teachings and indeed were following his path. Yet perhaps arguably one of the most important places that Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam reached on his journey to Khurasan was the place known as Naishapur. Now, of course, this particular area is significant because of an important tradition presented by Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam here in this holy city. So Imam alayhi salam in Naishapur then was requested to mention and to narrate a hadith, a tradition for people to benefit from. He was on the camel, sitting on the saddle, and then he mentioned the famous tradition known as the hadith as-silsilatu al-dhahabiyya, the golden chain of narration. And it was here in Naishapur, as we are presently, where the Imam alayhi salam uttered those wonderful blessed words, the tradition whereby he says, I narrate to you from my father Musa ibn Ja'far, from his father Ja'far ibn Muhammad, from his father Muhammad ibn Ali, from his father Ali ibn al-Husayn, from his father Husayn ibn Ali, from his father Ali ibn Abi Talib, from his brother Rasulullah, from Jibra'il, from Allah, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, كَلِمَةُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ حِصْنِي. The word لا إله إلا الله is my fortress. فَمَنْ دَخَلَ حِصْنِي أَمِنَ مِنْ عَذَابِي. Whoever enters my fortress is protected from my punishment. People were excited. Remember, they were in Naishapur and they were writing this blessed hadith. Then they said to the Imam, is that what it is? Imam alayhi salam then concluded by saying, بِشَرْطِهَا وَشُرُوطِهَا وَأَنَا مِنْ شُرُوطِهَا. It comes with its conditions, it comes with its terms, and the wilaya of Ali Muhammad is a term, an important, significant, absolutely crucial term in the protection of one's faith and the acceptance of one's action in order for this La ilaha illallah to indeed encapsulate the human being and to act as a fortress of protection.
Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to the program Today's Special. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please do not forget to log on to our website at parstoday.com/en Call of Islam page, also a YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. Till another episode of Today's Special, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. Ali Musa Reza, Ali Musa Reza, Ya Ali Musa Reza, Ali Musa Reza, Ali Musa Reza, Ali Musa Reza, Ya Ali Musa Reza.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.